Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner Entertainment Company. Regency. A Washington City street has been cordoned off by armed police as a besuited man rants to himself while holding a gun to his forehead. A police marksman has the man in his sights.
If you want him down, this is no huge problem.
You should be able to fill out a form correctly.
An unmarked cop car pulls up.
If you do that, mister, then I'll just have to get somebody who can. I'm gonna ask you again. Get back to your desk, Rebecca. I was a good boy.
What's happening, boy?
I was a good boy.
Well, well. What are you doing here?
Smell business.
Third bureaucrat this month.
The two plainclothed detectives look on as the man holds the gun to his mouth.
Hey, enough of this shit. Tell Carl to shoot him. He's fucking up traffic.
What's his name?
Jeffrey Arthur Brose of the Interstate Commerce Commission.
Whatever the hell that is.
Did you say that?
You said the what? The Interstate Commerce Commission?
You didn't say that.
I should do. Here, hold it.
Just tell him don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Regis. Get back here.
Just hang on a second.
Strap in. This is going to get weird.
No, I got to talk to this guy.
No. Go away.
Hey.
Don't go away. Any improper behavior on the part of any employee has to be reported.
Okay, just be easy, man. Look, I just want to talk, right? See? I got no gun.
No, I will kill myself.
I believe you. I just want to ask you a question. Now, you work for the Interstate Commerce Commission, right?
No, they let me go. They just threw me out.
You too? They evicted me too. I mean, they bought up my whole apartment building so they could turn it into a parking garage for them.
They're so unfair.
I agree. The durable goods division. Now, what can you please tell me what the hell that is? What is that?
Don't work there anymore, and they're on the second floor.
But do you know anybody I could talk to? Because I've been writing and I've been phoning them. I sent an email and nobody calls me. They just
keep
jerking me around. I'm telling you, it's driving me crazy, man.
No, I'm crazy.
Detective Harlan Regis punches the man unconscious, takes his gun, and leaves him a hanky as Detective Steve Stengel comes over.
They were going to shoot you, Jeffrey.
Christ, Regis, what are you, insane?
Guns on safety.
All right, boys. I'm thinking this looks, handled.
Come on, Stengel. Let's get out of here.
Warner Brothers presents... in association with Regency Enterprises. An Arnold Copleson production. A Dwight Little film. Starring Wesley Snipes. A thunderstorm rages across Washington. Lightning flashes reveal a couple making love. An attractive blonde woman pants in ecstasy as a man with dark graying hair nuzzles her neck and thrusts hard. Over his shoulder, the woman smiles at austere portraits of long past American presidents which line the walls around them. They're naked and making love on the president's desk in the Oval Office of the White House. Murder at 1600. A man polishing a wooden floor with a breaststroke technique. Diane Lane, Alan Alda, Daniel Benzali, Ronnie Cox, and Dennis Miller. A balding cleaner in dark blue overalls stops a trolley in a corridor. He sprays a nearby window and gives it a wipe. Elsewhere, a maid is polishing some silverware. With Tate Donovan, Diane Baker, Tom Wright and Charles Rocket. A woman in a white maid's uniform is mopping out a toilet room. Her long dark hair is pinned up neatly. She dips the mop head in a wheeled yellow bucket, squeezes the excess water out, and then starts cleaning the last of the three cubicles. She nudges the door with the mop, but something on the other side prevents it from opening, and when she pulls the mop back, it leaves a thick, bloody trail behind it. With an air of dread, The maid reluctantly peeks under the door. The blonde woman slumped in a pool of blood, her blue eyes open wide and lifeless.
Move, move!
Armed agents in suits race through the White House, across dark pillared halls, up staircases and under grand chandeliers.
Go, go! Sector 6 secure.
Two agents prepare to storm the Oval Office.
Sector 1 secure.
Other security personnel leap a low wall to check the grounds.
Go!
Freeze!
The floor polisher raises his polishing mitts.
Corey Lucchese. I work here.
They spot his permit.
Sector 5, secure.
Another agent bursts into a darkened office.
It's a good idea. Get up, slowly.
To a man asleep on the couch.
Sorry, sir. Sector 2 secure.
It was a grey-haired general. A young, dark-haired agent opens the door. A golden retriever bounds out.
Sector 3 secure.
All sectors secure.
Directed by Dwight Little. A CNN report from North Korea.
America held hostage, day 182. A special report. CNN has just received this smuggled video footage showing American AWACS soldiers in captivity and under extreme duress.
You see this?
Government officials expressed outrage upon viewing these tapes. Pentagon sources say the U.S. 7th Fleet remains on full alert in the Sea of Japan at this hour.
Air Force officials have reiterated their initial statement, describing the AWACS crew's mission as a routine flight.
Can you believe this? I mean, what is this president waiting for?
Regis is typing an eviction notice at the bar.
Please hold her one word or two.
One.
Spying in their airspace. In the face of growing Capitol Hill support for military intervention, the president called for patience and stated that the negotiations were proceeding
at pace. I see. So you negotiate for 13. How many do you go to war for? 14? That it? I mean, everything's about numbers. Two drinks a day. Healthy. Three, you're an alcoholic.
That's your third.
Rick, hit me again, man.
Yeah? Regis.
Mm-hmm.
It's far.
Okay.
It's not here. I'm not here.
The barman passes the phone.
Yeah. I got a coat and a tie.
Regis takes the unlit cigar from his mouth.
1600 what?
The goateed Stengel frowns. Driving through the deluge, Regis wipes the inside of his windscreen. A red light on the car's roof flares into the night as he reaches the gates to the White House. People have already started gathering outside, but they are hidden under umbrellas. An official with a guard dog comes to Regis's window.
Yeah, Harlan Regis, come aside.
The gates are swung open, and Regis drives along the drive at a slow crawl. In a White House corridor...
Detective Regis, come right on through, please. And I'll take your weapon. You'll get it back when you leave. This way, please.
With a troubled frown, a bald-headed man turns away from a CCTV image of Regis. The detective is led across a grand pillared hall that's bustling with activity.
Gentlemen.
Three agents are escorting Regis and don't afford him the luxury of a tour.
Straight ahead. And straight down this hallway to the left.
Regis takes some surgical gloves from his pocket as he enters the toilet room.
Upper torso and base neck. Going to be 5 to 8 centimeters across. Rigidity and rigor are progressing, although not well.
Jimmy!
Get in here and take a look at this, Ant. 24, 25 years old top. She's a baby.
Man, what is the world coming to? Time she found.
About 11.
Name?
Carla Town.
My best guess is she's dead maybe 3 hours.
Who's the first family?
Camp David. Left yesterday afternoon.
So, you got an idea what the murder weapon is?
Well, it's not as clean as a knife, Reach. You see that jagged edge around the wound there? It's not big enough to be scissors, so I figure it must be something smaller.
Excuse me, all film stays in-house. Orders.
Whose orders, Tepper?
The photographer glances towards the bald-headed man as he steps forward with an air of defiance.
Anyone know what she was doing here so late?
You're not cleared. Who invited you here anyway?
We did.
Sir, he's not cleared. He's a DC homicide cop.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Spikings, what I see over there is a homicide.
But jurisdiction...
Jurisdiction can go to hell.
With all due respect, I'm in charge of White House security.
With all due respect, I'm the president's national security advisor. A woman murdered in the White House, 40 yards from where the president sleeps, is a matter of national security. Alvin Jordan.
Yes, Harlan Regis. Homicide. Sir, do you happen to know what she was doing working here so late on a Friday night?
Well, the government doesn't shut down just because it's Friday.
Oh, yes, I understand. Do you know how many people were in the White House?
The tall, graying Jordan turns to Spikings.
31.
31.
Yeah. All right, carry on, Detective.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like you to avoid using two words if you give any statements to the media. The words are woman and murder. You say all information will be forthcoming on an appropriate and timely basis. Punch words are proper.
Mr. Spikings.
We do not refer to this account as a murder victim.
I'm going to need everything you have on her. What she was working on.
You get what's material.
Well, this is D.C., and unfortunately, she's mine.
She was murdered in the White House, not in some alley out in the southeast.
She was killed in my city.
She was killed in my house. Don't you ever forget that.
Spikings glances aside.
He's all yours.
Then shoots Regis a cold glare before going.
Hey, I'm just trying to do my job. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to get my briefings from CNN, right?
No, you get it from your Secret Service liaison. For the task force.
Well, he didn't assign me one.
Yes, he did. Nina Chance.
The young, dark-haired agent from earlier.
I see. They think I'm Boo Boo the Fool.
Excuse me?
So I guess he figures that I'll be easier on you than I would some rookie with acne, right?
Detective, I'm an online agent for the United States Secret Service, which means, among other things, that I am fully qualified to answer any questions relating to White House security. Furthermore, I resent the implication that...
Furthermore, you resent the implication? Man, people don't even speak English in this town anymore.
He leaves. Scalded, she turns and follows him.
Detective, it's this way.
Hello there.
There's been no statement yet about what's happening in the White House. We've been told only that the First Family is at Camp David for the weekend. As you can see behind me, the immediate area has been sealed off. Sheldon Turcotte, CNN, at the White House.
Outside an apartment block.
Why kill someone from the Office of Protocol?
Yeah, maybe she sat some ambassador in the wrong seat.
Oh, well, they kill you for that now.
It's a tough town.
You know, if I would have known, I would have put a turnstile in your charged admission or something.
Who else was here?
Secret Service. They started around 11:15. And can you believe they even took her garbage? Anyway, if you guys want me, I'll be downstairs 101.
Well, thank you very much.
Anytime.
The neighbor leaves Carla's apartment. Regis checks the answer machine, but discovers the tapes are missing. He shoots Chance a look, and she shifts awkwardly. In the fridge, Regis finds only a bottle of champagne and a lettuce.
Wait a minute. The body's found at 11 o'clock, and the feds arrive here 15 minutes later. How do you do that?
Yeah, they don't even have cool sirens like we do. Look at her photo album. Look at this, Regis.
It's empty.
Is this the only one?
It's the only one I see, but, you know, I just got here. I can tell you that the apartment is registered in the name of, Brooklyn Associates, but that is about all I have right now.
While Stengel investigates the kitchen, Regis flicks through a Miami property brochure. Checking Chance is out of earshot, he calls over to his partner. Stengel joins him and surreptitiously pockets a slip of paper Regis found tucked between two pages.
Wow, 1.2 on the beach. White House giving out some pretty sweet Christmas bonuses this year.
Yeah, looks that way.
Chance returns to the lounge.
I want a complete list of everybody in-house last night between 9 and 11. And don't tell me that it's classified.
She hands him a printout.
Quick on the draw, huh, Agent Chance?
She sighs wearily. Regis scans the list.
There's only 30 names here.
All whereabouts accounted for.
Spikens told me that there were 31.
Regis rises from an armchair.
I mean, I see his name here. So whose name is missing?
Chance is left uncertain.
Well, apparently Agent Spikings was mistaken. The count is 30, in-house.
She moves into the next room. Regis folds up the printout and passes it to Stengel.
You better check it out.
I'm on it.
Daytime. Regis is driving.
So, Agent Chance, where are you from?
Iowa.
Iowa, huh? So why the Secret Service? I mean, why not?
Why not? Kindergarten teacher?
Nah, you don't look like one of those at all.
I was in the Olympics.
The Olympics?
That's how I got in the Secret Service.
Is that right?
I was on the sharpshooting team. I met President Reagan. It was 1988. One of his agents was a woman. She sort of took me under her wing.
Sharpshooting. I feel safe already.
I brought home the gold.
Regis jokes.
Wow.
She stifles her amusement.
Where are we going?
To my place. I gotta change.
They park in a suburban road.
You're being evicted?
Old damn building. Feds are tearing it down to put up a parking garage for the,
Interstate Commerce Commission.
Yeah.
What do they need a parking lot around here for?
The hell if I know. I've been trying to figure that out. Whole building thinks that I can fix it because I'm a cop.
Harlan, what's going on?
Miss Wallace.
Look, in less than a month, we're going to be living out on garbage cans.
I'm making progress, Miss Wallace. Truly, I am.
Progress?
Yes.
Is that what you call it? Progress. I should say you are making some progress. You better take care of your business, boy. You know that that's what you should be doing, is taking care of your business, making progress. I know what he's making progress at.
Two large-scale models dominate the front rooms of Regis's apartment.
Hey, make yourself comfortable.
Having seen them, Chance raises her eyebrows in surprise.
Washington City, July 21st, 1861. And this is Manassas, first battle of Bull Run. Come here, I'm gonna show you something. Right here? That's where Stonewall Jackson got his nickname. That's Sudley Springs there. Yeah, civilians used to come on that crest over there and take carriages and picnics to watch the battle. Amazing, huh?
How did you...
Well, I'm a homicide cop in the homicide capital of the world. It's cheaper than a shrink.
You did this all by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The whole thing. My father was a history buff, so I guess it kind of rubbed off on me.
And what did he do?
He worked at the Smithsonian for about 34 years as a guard. How am I going to move all of this? I mean, first I got to take it all apart, and then I got to put it all back together again? Oh, no. Hell no. I can't move. I'll be right back.
While Regis moves into a side room, Chance crouches down to study the miniature battlefield. Having changed into another shirt, tie and suit jacket, Regis is hounded alongside Chance by media folk as the pair enter the police station. Inside, they move into a bustling open-plan office.
Detective Regis, Stengel's been looking all over for you.
Who isn't?
Regis, remember that claim check? I sent Greeley to the drugstore.
Okay. Hi. Right, let's see what we got.
Photos of Carla on holiday with friends.
And there she is, alive and in color.
Where'd you get these?
Regis casts her a dismissive glance. She sighs and checks her watch.
Late for the autopsy. We gotta go.
Our visa card activity. Last 24 hours. Banning travel. $1,500. I gotta buy a nose hair. Phone records, a credit card, a bank account. All impounded. Now classified. She had a shuttle flight to New York. A reservation at the Pierre. Hertz rental car. Connecting flight to the Virgin Islands. St. Croix. One way.
Lady was buying herself a new life.
She wasn't coming back either.
Chance is just as intrigued by this as the detectives.
All right.
Regis pins a photo of Carla to his notice board. She's on a boat in a black bikini.
The evidence indicates a crime of passion. There's clear evidence of vaginal penetration. There's traces of lubricant in the vaginal tract and under the fingernails. The blows were from the left and powerful. A condom was used. No semen. No blood except hers. No DNA.
Signs of force?
No.
So you're saying sex, not rape?
The coroner nods. Spikings comments.
This doesn't leave the room.
Taking out his notebook, Regis leaves. Chance waits for the nod from Spikings before following the detective. A news report.
It was here we saw the image of an untroubled President Jack Neal before the White House murder cast a dark cloud over this once highly regarded administration.
Having positioned a tree in his replica of the Bull Run battle, Regis looks up at the TV as the balding president receives a pitch at a baseball match. He frowns thoughtfully and has a metal spike in his mouth that he used to plant the tree. In the report, the president waves to the crowds. Regis sets down a cavalry figure on a dirt track. Now CCTV footage.
Corey Allen Lucchese, janitor. Nobody can account for him during a 45-minute period prior to the point where the Secret Service found him working in the East Room at 11:02. The time of her death has been set between 10:30 and 11.
That guy eats a jelly donut, and then he stabs her 8 times.
Lee Harvey Oswald was seen in the Book Depository cafeteria drinking a Coke a minute after Kennedy was shot.
He's reading Soap Opera Digest.
2 months ago.
Agent Hal Cooper has another CCTV tape played, containing footage of Lucchese attempting to give Carla a massage in the cafeteria. She reprimands him in front of other people.
Well, that's not enough. If that's all you got, you got nothing.
Except this. It was found in the bathroom. It's the missing button from a shirt found in Lucchese's apartment. Lucchese doesn't clean the bathrooms.
All right, where is he?
They're picking him up.
What would it take for me to see all the surveillance tapes from that night?
Not much. Just an act of Congress.
Spiking smiles smugly.
After you, detective.
They leave the surveillance room, but Chance lingers beside Cooper.
Hal, that button was labeled as being found in the dining room. How did it get up in the lavatory?
I just must have labeled it wrong.
He squeezes past her hastily on his way out. Lucchese's brought in for questioning. After the media frenzy, Regis interviews him.
Did you ever have an affair with Carla Towne?
No, never.
But you did come on to her, though, right?
Lucchese smokes nervously and shrugs.
You did come on to her, yeah? Did you come on to Carla Towne?
Yeah. I came on to her. You ever get a look at her?
Oh, yeah. It's hot. You ever take it any further than that?
No. I mean, listen to me. Carla was strictly hands off.
What do you mean, hands off?
I don't know. But that was the word. The Secret Service was looking out for her.
How?
I don't know. Like, if she worked late, say, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or... Well, the Secret Service guys, they would always drive her home.
Spikings lifts his chin in the observation room. Regis parks outside his apartment in heavy rain.
Dun, 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 dun.
that.
Indoors, he pulls off his shirt, revealing his muscular physique under a grey vest. Having settled for milk from the fridge, he swigs some whilst moving into the front room where his models are. In darkness, he switches on the TV.
This is an act of war. This is the Pueblo Revisited. And he wants to negotiate. Give me a break. Neil negotiating to defend us at a table? Why, he can't even defend his own house.
Fred, look, let me remind you.
Regis turns away from the TV in disdain and notices a model horse lying on the floor by his feet.
There's your rider, right?
He scans the wooden floorboards before discovering the figure nearby.
How did you get down here?
Putting both figures aside, he then finds a metal screw on the floor. Picking it up, he frowns in thought before studying the ceiling and a vent directly above him. Stealthily moving into the hall with his gun drawn, Regis proceeds through his apartment in near darkness. Edging cautiously into his bedroom, he finds a window ajar and damp footprints on the floorboards. He follows them into a bathroom. They end beside a bath and a door with a three-quarter length mirror hanging from it. Regis raises his gun.
Okay, you wanna live? Open the door 2 inches and slide your weapon out nice and easy. Hey, don't make me have to stain my linen.
An assailant lunges onto the detective from behind the bath shower curtain, and his hand is beaten against a wall until he drops the gun. Regis hurls the man to the floor, but gets kicked. The dark-clad man makes a break for it. Regis bundles him onto the bed, but gets elbowed in the gut. The intruder slides the window up and scrambles out onto a fire escape. Regis snatches his gun off the floor and gives chase. They leap over a wall and onto the roof of a car, but Regis slips and gets shrugged onto the bonnet. The assailant hops over a fence and sprints around a corner into a back alley, only to discover a high barbed wire fence. With his gun at the ready, Regis sidesteps to the corner behind a stack of boxes. They topple onto him and the intruder sprints into a warehouse. Regis holds back in the entrance before entering the building with caution. He backs up against some shelving and then takes cover behind a support beam. The darkened warehouse lays before him, and faced with countless escape routes, he steps out into the open and hesitates. He crouches at the sound, but then stands up resignedly.
Shit!
Stengel and police are at Regis's apartment.
It's a nasty-ass city, Regis. Congratulations, you are now a statistic.
Regis checks the air vent and finds an electronic device.
Let me see that.
He passes the crude contraption to Stengel.
Son of a bitch.
So they're eavesdropping, for Christ's sake. Big surprise. It's the government. Look.
They brought you in on this for the same reason they brought the doctors in Dallas to work on Kennedy 2 hours after he was killed. They had to be seen to be going the extra mile so that nobody could say they could have done more.
Well, you never would have let me hold Lucchese on what they have. You know that.
Their conversation is being monitored.
All right, go back and take another look at it. But don't make any fucking noise till you have something real.
Yes, sir.
Regis leaves Captain Farr's office. The captain sighs and turns towards whoever's watching. Regis is leaning back in his chair with his arms behind his head, staring at the photo of Carla on his notice board.
Come on, Carla. Talk to me.
He studies the people smiling in the background at the boat's stern. A figure in a white shirt with his arms folded has been cut out of the photo on the far right. Regis slides open a drawer in his desk, takes out a pack of negatives and holds them up. Tepper brings the images up on a computer monitor.
This is full frame. The drugstore machines automatically crop.
Can you get me closer to this?
No problem.
Tepper enlarges the face of the man in the white shirt, who's wearing shades and an ear device.
He's Secret Service. Can you make me a hard copy?
Tepper prints one off.
Thank you. You're the man.
Outside, Regis is beset by reporters, but casually waves them off. Inside a grand hall, a dinner function is underway. Jordan's at a table in a black suit and bow tie, chatting to a middle-aged woman. There's a younger couple beside them. Regis moves through the throng of guests and stops at a bar.
Yes, can I have a fruit juice, please?
He nods politely at the man standing next to him and looks around the room, then back at the man.
Hey, aren't you,
the Speaker of the House?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, listen, do you ever speak to anybody at the Interstate Commerce Commission?
Chance sees them talking from the other side of the room and frowns disapprovingly. She looks over at Spikings, who hasn't noticed, and makes her way over to them.
Some organization or something, I'm not really sure, but they're evicting me.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. The detective services are needed elsewhere.
Don't worry about it. I'll call you.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
I'm trying to find you.
Look, the task force is closed. We have a suspect.
Yeah, me too. Who's that? He's Secret Service. You should know. Who is he?
I can't tell you.
What, is that classified too?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll just have to find out for myself.
He sees Spikings walking through the room, then the man in the picture.
There he is, right there. The one who just stepped to the podium, that's him. What's his name?
I can't tell you that.
Well, look, either you help me or I'll have to find out the loud way.
All right. Please.
What's his name?
Burton Cash.
Who's he assigned to?
Kyle Neal.
The president's son?
Regis looks over at him thoughtfully, then across at Kyle. Jordan.
Ladies and gentlemen, it brings me great honor to present the First Lady of the United States, Mrs. Kitty Neal.
Everyone stands to applaud as she makes her way up to the stage and waits in front of the podium. Spikings looks over and sees Regis and Chance standing together.
In roughly the time, if the bodyguard was there, that means that Kyle was on that boat as well.
Domestic violence has shattered three more homes in America.
Kyle Neal was having an affair with Carla Town. He's the one who had sex with her that night.
She looks nervously over at Spikings.
Well, my friends,
I've got to go.
Hey, how long do you think it'd be before the media finds out that the president's son was banging her an hour before she died?
So it's appropriate. I've got to go.
Nice dress. With industry
and concerns. She makes her way across the room to him. It's
enough. You ought to have no further contact with Detective Regis, is that understood?
What if he initiates contact, sir?
Then I want a report, detailed and immediate.
Written?
Beginning with what you two just discussed, right now.
He shepherds her on her way. Outside, the press have gathered at the gates and take pictures as guests come out and climb into their waiting cars. Regis is sitting in his car over the road, and watches as Kyle gets into a convertible with a young blonde woman. They drive away. Then the two of them are dancing sexily together in a busy nightclub. Kyle stands behind her, running his hands over her body and kissing her neck while she dances and rides against him. Regis is watching them from the bar, never taking his eyes off them as they start to kiss, then leave the dance floor. He starts to head in their direction as Cash follows them out. Cash turns to look at the woman.
Kyle? We used to date.
Then you know how it works.
Reluctantly and sadly, she watches Kyle leave and goes back to her table alone. Regis nods to himself. He slowly walks up behind her.
I think you should get some revenge.
Excuse me?
You should get revenge.
And how do I go about getting that?
Move to New York, become a big model. Don't take his phone calls anymore.
Interesting. I need a drink. Do you like one?
Your treat?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
What would you like?
Whatever the lady's buying.
Bourbon?
Nice.
She goes to the bar. Later, Regis is in a phone box.
After two bourbons, she's telling me his underwear preference and that his one mission in life is to get laid in every room in the White House.
That sounds like a plan to me.
She even told me this. She said once Kyle even bragged about sharing a mistress with his father.
Carlotown?
Well, she wasn't sure who.
Well, it gets better than that. Her uncle's company, Brookland Associates, leading East Coast fundraiser for Jack Neal.
Really?
I mean, the company leased the president's campaign space, owned her apartment.
Well, this is good. This is very good.
I hope you know what you're doing. Good night now.
Night, dear.
Regis leaves the phone box and sets off down the dark street towards a crossroads. As he walks, he watches a car parked on the other side of the street. He stops and takes a cigar out of his mouth. Looking at it thoughtfully, he unpeels the wrapper around it. He pops the cigar into his mouth, then sprints towards the car, which reverses off down the street at high speed, spins round, then drives away just as he's catching up with it. Regis slows down and stops, standing in the middle of the road as the red taillights disappear out of view. Regis pulls up on a quiet suburban street at night and knocks on a front door. Chance comes out of a side room wearing just a shirt and looks at him through the glass in the door.
What, do you want to see my badge?
Why did you come here?
He holds a poster up against the glass advertising Kyle Neal's work promoting education to inner city kids, and Chance lets him in.
So I'm digging. I'm going through the People magazine and just happened to come across page 16. I find a picture of Kyle coming back from Brazil. And you're standing next to him with an earpiece. You know, I must have looked at 18 months of pictures of this guy. And you know what I found? I found that you were in over half of them. You were on his detail and you didn't tell me. Until when?
I have nothing more to discuss with you about this. The case is closed.
Agent Chance, when did they remove you from Kyle's detail?
You show up here grilling me about work?
Just answer the question.
Don't come to my home again.
Answer the question!
You waltz in here expecting me to violate every oath I've ever taken. I have a duty to protect.
Your duty could send an innocent man to prison for the rest of his life. Are you comfortable with that?
I think you should leave.
How is it that Spikens finds a button in the bathroom that no other detective found, huh? What, did he plant it there?
I asked you to leave.
Did he plant the button?
I don't know, okay?
Everybody's lying around here.
Regis sits down in one of the armchairs and looks up at Chance, who sits on a nearby sofa.
Okay, so again, why did they remove you from Kyle's detail?
They didn't remove me. One night, I heard sounds of violence, fighting, coming from his apartment. So I went in, and I found him beating up his girlfriend. And he was ugly. And we covered it up for him. That was even uglier. And that's when I asked to be reassigned.
Look, Nina, I don't know what I would do if I was you. But I do know one thing. I could not let an innocent man fry for something he did not do. Maybe you can.
He gets up to leave, and Chance watches as he walks out of the door. Then she puts her head in her hand and stares down at the floor thoughtfully. A protest outside the White House.
North Korea has broken off negotiations.
The dark cloud that seems to be hanging over this administration.
What an incredible turn of events. The FBI has not been able to interview the first son, now said to have been in the White House at the time of the murder.
Chance carries a box up the steps of the government building. Then she's speaking with a security guard.
I have this to add to the Carla Town effects.
Could you open it, please?
Sure.
She opens the box and holds it up to the window.
Thank you, Agent Chance.
No problem.
Come through.
The guard opens the door for her, and she walks into a large warehouse-style room lined with rows of blue racks that reach up to the ceiling, every one of them filled with brown cardboard evidence boxes. Chance walks down one of the aisles carrying her box. Then she's pushing a tall set of broad steps on wheels and stops near the end of a row. She climbs to the top of the steps with the box and puts it into a gap on the shelf. Then she reaches right to the back of the row above and pulls out another box. In his booth, the guard looks at his watch, gives it a quick double take, then heads into the evidence store. Chance has removed the lid of the box she pulled out and found a leather-bound ring diary amongst the evidence, which she quickly flicks through. She searches through the rest of the stuff while the guard makes his way down one of the aisles. Chance finds a big white envelope and reaches inside it, but drops its contents. The guard stops to listen while Chance quickly puts the box back in its place, then goes down the steps and picks up a small cassette off the floor. She stuffs the items in her jacket just as the guard appears at the end of the aisle.
Hello?
Hello?
Any problem?
No, I finally found everything.
You all done then?
Yeah.
They head back out into the corridor, but Cooper steps out and cuts her off.
Spikings wants to see you. Now.
She walks down the passageway and he follows her. Then he's opening the door to a large wood-paneled office and showing her in. Spikings is sitting in a chair behind his desk. He nods and Cooper leaves, closing the door behind him. Chance sits down, looking nervous.
Is there anything I should know about?
I don't know. Is there?
You were in the Olympics. You know what it means to be a team player?
Sharpshooting isn't a team sport.
Well, this is.
He stands up and walks around the desk.
We put our lives on the line every single day. You have to trust the people you work with.
Is there a problem?
You tell me. This case is closed.
So I've heard.
Harlan Regis hasn't. You would tell us if he tried to contact you, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Good. Because if anybody found out he'd elicited your support for his paranoid theories, I'd hate to think how that would look. What people might think. As a team.
Why is the door shut?
Excuse me?
Why are your hands on me? Because if anyone walked in here, I'd hate to think how that might look. What people might think. As a team.
She goes to the door.
In this day and age, they might get the wrong idea.
Spy Kings looks deeply unimpressed. Chance breathlessly steps out into the corridor and leans against the wall around a corner, securing the items she took inside her jacket. Cooper runs into Spy King's office.
Sir, Agent Chance examined Carla Town's effects 8 minutes ago.
Get her. And Cooper, do it quietly.
Yes, sir.
Chance sets off down the corridor at a brisk pace as Cash and a second agent step out of the lift. She turns off down another corridor just as they meet Cooper outside Spy King's office.
Need a chance. Find her and lock her down.
Chance goes through a door and runs down some back stairs.
You two cover the stairwell. I'll take the front.
Cash and the agent go onto the same stairs that Chance just took. They look upwards, then decide to go down. She's not far in front of them and goes through a door that leads into a quiet office where people are working at lamplit desks, which she quickly walks through.
Hey, Nina.
Hey.
She goes down another set of stairs to the main floor and sees Cooper in another room, then looks up and sees Cash and the agent come out of a door on the floor above.
We got a visual.
I got it.
They chase her as she goes out through a fire escape and down some more stairs, with Cooper close behind. They all run down the stairs, but Chance exits onto another quiet corridor, where a few people are sitting on chairs, pushed back against the wall. She walks quickly along it and goes into the women's toilet, where she tries to open a large window, but it won't budge. Cooper gets into the corridor and stops to look around while Chance leaves the toilet. He sees her and she dashes into the men's toilet, goes into a cubicle and manages to open the window as Cooper sprints towards her. She climbs out onto the fire escape and releases the ladder just as the agents arrive. Chance jumps the last few feet and runs down the alleyway, while Cooper climbs down the ladder. When she gets to the end, she stops, sees no one behind her, and casually joins the throng of pedestrians. In a packed office, the general shows the president a magazine with a cover declaring, "Murder at the White House."
Your approval ratings dropped 19%.
Your point?
The point is that it's enough to distract anybody.
From making a sober judgment, I can't defend my own house, so how am I going to defend America?
We're a superpower. We should act like one.
And so is China.
which the last time I looked had a defense pact with North Korea.
We can handle China. Now. 10 years' time, at the rate they're arming, who the hell knows? Mr. President, let's bring the boys back. We can go in with special forces.
The president looks over at Jordan.
Alvin?
General Tully has a point.
Poll this morning in the New York Times, Jack. 53% of America
think we should strike the North Koreans.
Now, the vice president's point just amplifies mine.
The president looks around the room and suddenly becomes somber and serious.
Mr. President.
Jack.
I'm not going to war over this. Alvin, I want the 7th Fleet to stand down, not turn around. Stand down. That doesn't bring him back to the table. We'll reconvene.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. Gentlemen.
You may be prepared to sit around here while they're torturing our boys. I'm not.
We're not being passive. We're being patient and prudent.
Mr. President, I feel duty-bound to tell you that your lack of action here borders on the criminal.
Then you've done your duty, General. Now I'll do mine. I expect your resignation on my desk in the morning.
You shall have it.
That's all, gentlemen. Alvin.
A car drives slowly along a road at night with a lit-up building in the background. It comes to a stop and the lights go out. Regis is sitting in it, looking out at the river, when Chance walks quickly round the front and gets in the passenger seat.
What's the matter?
Here.
She hands him the evidence.
This is called this tape from my answer machine.
That's right.
Well, how'd you get it?
I stole it. Look, here's what you need in your appointment book. She has a meeting and they're scheduled for tomorrow in New York.
Craig Nisker and Associates?
He's the king of tell-all. His agency sold 5 of the top 10 scandal memoirs of all time.
That's his motive. I'll be damned. Jack, Kyle, and Carla. Oval Office threesome.
Figured she was gonna burn the whole family.
She was gonna score big with this.
I guess Kyle found out about it.
We can place him at the scene of the crime, and we know that he had a history of violence against women. That's it. Oh, he's mine.
Well, you just don't get it, do you? These people can make us disappear. Get out of here.
Where are you going?
I checked into a motel. I'll call you.
Be careful.
She looks back at him before walking away. In a lecture hall.
The court may direct what? Mr. Peterson.
Under 2198 of the criminal code, the court may allocate a fine for the children of the victim.
Please, Mr. Peterson, please. What is it? The porch light's on, but nobody's home? Is that it?
Or the victim's spouse.
Incorrect, Mr. Peterson. The court may direct that the amount of the fine, when paid, be paid for the use of the female seduced or her child, if she have any. Now, pursuant to this statute, we have Desmond versus Presley, which states, where testimony in rape prosecution concerning clothing of defendant was technically... What is it, Mr. Neal? Happy date?
That's pretty funny.
One of the students, the president's son, Kyle, was handed a government-headed note which read, "You killed her. Time to talk. Alone. Meridian Park. Noon." Kyle pulls up by the curb in his convertible, followed by two agents. He gets out and waves as he walks past their car, then goes up some steps to a house. A young blonde wearing just a blue shirt opens the door, and they kiss as he goes inside.
What's going on?
I just need your car, all right?
He goes straight out the back door, through the garden, and up some steps to where another convertible's parked on some decking. Kyle jumps in and speeds off down a back road. Then he's climbing some steps in the park. When he gets to the top, he stops and looks around anxiously, leaning over the stone balustrade that commands a view of the city. Suddenly, Regis rushes at him from behind and pushes him violently against it.
Fuck off of me!
It's easy.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man, you are a son of a bitch. You know, I'm gonna have your goddamn badge, you know that?
Why didn't you just shoot her if you had this, huh?
And you know who I am? You know who you're dealing with?
I don't give a shit who you are. You're going down. Turn around.
Get off of me.
Get off of here. Just like a big fish. Fell right for the bait. Only a guilty man would do that.
Yeah, or a man who wants to know who's trying to frame him.
You were with her that night. You had sex with her and then you offed her.
Oh, Jesus. You think it was an accident that she was murdered an hour after I slept with her? Someone knew I'd be there with her that night.
Yeah, maybe somebody with a motive as good as yours.
What motive?
Did your father have sex with Carla Towne?
I don't know my father's sexual resume.
You knew that she was leaving town, though.
Yeah, I read the newspapers.
Uh-huh.
Two nights in New York, a connecting ticket to the Virgin Islands, and a Hertz rent-a-car.
So?
So Carla Towne didn't have a driver's license. You think I killed Carla?
Yeah.
You think you could prosecute me? Your arms don't reach that high, Detective.
Still don't understand why you showed up?
I go to sleep every night thinking about a woman with 8 stab wounds. A woman that I slept with an hour before. You try that as a sleeping pill.
Hey, you forgot something.
He throws Kyle his gun and watches him while he waits for him to leave. Kyle seems reluctant at first, but then he turns and goes. Chance is in her motel room.
Rivaling the North Korean hostage taking is an issue of concern for the White House. The murder of Carla Towne remains unsolved. As the attention of Washington homicide detectives turned to Kyle Neal, and the president's approval ratings continue to plummet, we must ask, will Carla Towne be Jack Neal's Chappaquiddick? At this hour, no one knows where the trail will end. We do know that for an administration already knee-deep in troubled waters of a potentially international confrontation in North Korea, a serious domestic concern of this nature is especially dangerous to the president's public image. If Jack Neal is unable to protect the workers under his own roof...
Watching the president and his wife walk their dog on the lawn gave her an idea, and she looks around thoughtfully before standing up and going to the bedside table where she picks up her key in the darkness. She looks out of the window at the rain, then heads for the door. Next, she's walking alongside a diner, which is dimly lit. She goes in and has a look around before taking a seat at one of the empty tables. A waitress approaches her.
Coffee?
She waits nervously. Outside, a small carpet restoration van is parked across the street. In it, a muscular man is watching a monitor, which shows a map of Washington. Then a live scan brings up a picture of a busy crossroads. With a colleague beside him and recording equipment behind him, the man uses binoculars to watch Chance in the diner as Regis arrives and sits down next to her.
Sorry, I'm late. What's the matter? What is it?
They were there.
Who was where?
The president and the first lady. They weren't at Camp David when Carla was murdered. They were in the White House.
How do you know this?
That morning, I almost shot their golden retriever. They never go anywhere without that dog. Tonight, I saw footage of them coming back from Camp David with the dog. Their alibi is complete bullshit.
So that means they took them to Camp David after the body was discovered.
Yeah.
Spikings. He could have smuggled them out.
How?
The tunnels underneath the White House. Well, hey, look, I built this city, remember?
I just can't believe this. They covered it up, they got them out? Why?
Because then they would be considered suspects just like everybody else. Why should they be, though? That's the question.
Because he's the president of the United States.
What does that mean? That he doesn't have a motive? He has a mistress about to drop a tell-all. That's more than enough.
Wounds are from the left. President Neal is right-handed.
Yeah, I noticed that. He writes with his right hand. But he swings a baseball bat and a golf club with his left.
Jesus. Outside in the van.
Yeah, she's still there. Now, do you want me to finish this?
No, they're right where we want them. We're right on schedule.
Chance and Regis get back to the motel and go into the room together. This time, she puts the light on.
Thanks, Regis. I appreciate it. I can take care of myself.
I want you to lay low until I get to Jordan or Spikings, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
A car arrives, and the chopper's spotlight shines down.
Secret Service. Back door.
Chance runs to the door and struggles to get the lock undone, while Regis watches anxiously through the window as the agents run towards them. They manage to get the door opened and escape just as the others burst in. Two more agents are waiting round the back and chase them as they run down a narrow passageway between two buildings.
Go, go!
A car speeds after them. The helicopter above has its searchlight trained on them, and two agents are chasing them on foot. Just as the car's about to bear down on them, they run past a playground seesaw and leap over a fence. The car's front wheel hits the seesaw, sending it flying up into the air and flipping onto its roof. The car slides down the hill and comes to a halt. Regis and Chance run to the bottom and take cover behind some concrete blocks, drawing their guns.
Go for the gas tank.
He's clear!
They shoot at the car, which explodes in a huge ball of flames. Then Chance shoots out the helicopter spotlights.
Go.
It veers off, leaving them to run away through some waste ground under the cover of darkness. A large golden sun, its top half obscured by clouds, hangs low in an orange sky as morning breaks. Regis pulls up at the police station, surrounded by press.
What about Nina Chance, huh?
In Farr's office...
You want the spotlight? Become a rock star. I'd reassign you, but it'd make even more news. Come in.
Call for you, Detective Regis.
Not taking any calls.
It's the White House.
How lovely for you.
Regis and Jordan are jogging.
That was some stunt you pulled last night, Detective.
Last night had nothing to do with me. I was off duty.
Why do I find that difficult to believe?
I don't care what you believe. I want to know why the president was in residence the night of the murder, and you didn't tell me.
The president's not to be involved.
The president is about to become an official suspect.
Oh, suspect.
Look, it's my duty to question...
You're not questioning the president. The presidency is an institution, not a person. An institution will be protected at all costs. How do you think we got them out of there that night?
I don't know. Maybe cover up a crime.
No. They get the smell of blood away from the North Koreans. They'd eat us alive. We'd never get our boys back. This is global, Detective. It's a little bit off your turf.
This is a homicide. This is my turf.
Let me tell you something. I've known Jack Neal for 3 decades. I'm godfather to his son. Your suspicions are ludicrous.
Lucchese's a stooge.
Then prove it.
How? Nobody can pinpoint the actual time of death, and he can't prove his whereabouts for an hour.
There are 27 cameras covering the hallways of the working White House. You telling me none of them captured her walking down a hallway within 3 minutes of her death?
Are you trying to tell me? The tapes are classified. Out of my reach.
You Republican or Democrat?
I think Washington is drowning in a sea of its own bullshit.
Those 13 men aren't risking their lives over bullshit, pal.
Well, this is not about those 13 men. It's about a dead woman in the White House.
You know, Harvard did a study. Said you could measure a man's longevity by the first thing he turns to in the morning paper.
Well, I'm an obituary man.
Start with the comments. You'll live longer.
Jordan runs off, leaving Regis standing on a footpath, watching him thoughtfully. Later, he comes out of the front door to his apartment building and picks up a bundle of newspapers at the top of the steps. He takes them inside and looks through them. In the cartoon section, he finds a large brown envelope containing two photographs taken from CCTV footage. They show Carla walking down a White House corridor at 22:49. Next, Spikings is holding up a newspaper with the same picture on its front page and the headline, Last Photos of Carla Alive.
Whoever leaked this, I'm gonna bottle their last breath.
Sir, if she was alive at 10:49, she had to be murdered while
this doesn't change a damn thing about Lucchese. Nobody saw him until 11:02. That still gave him 13 minutes to do the job.
Regis is back at his desk, looking through the photographs of Carla on her boating holiday with friends, when Stengel walks up.
Regis, what are you gonna do? What are you, put the president in a lineup?
Okay, you're Carla Town. You're about to sell this story for a shitload of money. You're gonna move to paradise. You buy a one-way ticket never to return, right?
Calling for Carla Town, confirming Monday between 8 and 12 to install the trash compactor you bought yesterday.
Why the hell would you have a trash compactor installed 2 days after you're gone?
Maybe she forgot?
Well, she just bought it the day before.
What?
Shit!
Monday 4:30, right?
Regis picks up a plastic bag and takes out three small squares of paper. They're handwritten notes, and he lies them down in a column so they overlap each other.
What do you got?
They're shopping lists, which he compares with the writing in the diary. Then he's with a technician.
And the handwriting on the 23rd?
The slope of the writing is different. But here, look at this. The loop on the top of this L is smooth and continuous, and the day planner... Here, there's an obvious pause in the writing, which indicates a deliberate stroke. Here. It's on the B as well. This is a forgery.
There never was an appointment. She wasn't going anywhere.
At the White House, Spikings is watching CCTV videos alone. One shows the general walking down a corridor, another shows Cash doing the same. A third one has Carla coming round the corner of a corridor at 21:59. Spikings takes that out and puts in another tape, which shows her walking round the same corner, only this time with her briefcase. Spikings walks into the frame and they stop to talk. He puts his hand tenderly on her arm and looks like he's about to kiss her, but she lowers her head. He freezes it and stares at the picture for a moment, then removes the tape and puts it in his briefcase. A security guard's on the phone.
Spikings? Entered at 12:09, left at 12:14. Yes? Yes, sir. Surveillance tapes. He had clearance.
Thank you. Bob?
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to Detective Regis, D.C. Homicide. He's going to want to question Nick Spikings. Get me Spikings' address in Alexandria.
Yes, sir.
A car pulls into the drive of a large single-story stone house and parks in front of the double garage. Spikings gets out and walks quickly towards the front door. Regis and Chance in a car.
Somebody's been playing us like puppets.
What are you saying?
Carla Town wasn't killed to protect the administration. She was murdered to destroy it.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that somebody dumped the dead body in the White House so that the blood trail could lead right to the first family. They even manufactured the motive.
Chance looks away in thoughtful disbelief. Then Regis goes up to the front door of Spikings' house while she eavesdrops from the car. He comes to answer it, still wearing his gun holster.
So?
Only the guard would know I took the tapes. I have someone on the inside. It's time you and I stop playing games.
Sit down.
They go into a sitting room, and Spikings draws his gun, but then puts it down on the coffee table, as does Regis. They both sit down, opposite each other.
You have any idea what it takes to stand all day in one place, watching a dumpster in the pouring rain? Because that dumpster just happens to be next to a hotel where the president is going to be staying the following day. And his life is in your hands. Loneliest job in the world.
Spikings takes a sip of his drink, while Regis looks around the room.
Get rid of the wire. I know who's listening anyway.
Regis takes the microphone out of his top pocket, switches it off, and lays it down on the table. Chance rips her earpiece out, then looks behind her at the sound of an approaching car. Spikings picks up a videotape.
You think you got it all figured out? You haven't read me right at all.
Regis stares at him as he stands up and puts the tape into the machine.
I see my life and my service with a clarity you're incapable of grasping.
A bullet breaks the glass and hits Spikings in the back, dropping him to the floor. Outside, two men in black run towards the house and fire in through the window. Regis takes cover and shoots at them as they smash the glass, but he runs out of bullets and throws his gun away. Chance runs across the front lawn towards the house as one of the attackers climbs in through the window. He walks through the house with his gun held up in front of him, but Regis attacks him from behind, kicking his legs out and smacking his head against the wall. He dives to grab the intruder's gun and turns to use it, but gets punched between the legs. The man knocks it out of his hand again, and they fight, but Regis throws him up against the kitchen cabinet. He picks up one of the two pistols lying on the floor and shoots at the second attacker, but the gun's empty. Regis runs through the house and grabs the second gun while the attacker fires at him. He gets a shot in, but then Chance shoots at him through the window from the garden. She misses, and the attacker returns a hail of bullets as he runs out of sight. Chance runs to the house and sees Regis. The attacker throws a chair through the window and escapes.
Shit! Cover me!
Chance opens the front door and kneels in the corridor, gun raised, while Regis runs into the sitting room and steps over Spiking's corpse to pick up the two videotapes.
No.
They head outside.
I thought you were a sharpshooter.
Save it.
The president's on the phone.
Freeze China out if they stand with North Korea. All talks for a grain deal cease until they stand down. If China wants grain, I want our boys back.
We got 5 minutes, Al.
I'm afraid it's going to take longer than that. It's bad news, Mr. President.
It's still Jack, Alvin.
Nick Spikings is dead.
What?
And he had evidence that Kyle killed Carla Town. Spikings collected it. They found a condom with Kyle's semen and the woman's fingerprints on it. They found the murder weapon. And a surveillance tape putting Kyle and the woman together just minutes before the murder.
There's got to be another explanation.
Oh, no. And Spikings was just about to cut himself a deal to leak it.
Nick Spikings. He wouldn't do that to me.
Everybody has a price. Not the first thing in your life you've been naive about, is it, Jack?
Obviously not.
Well, you're safe now. So's Kyle.
The president stands up and walks over to the wall, his back turned to Jordan.
Spikings was murdered.
In the city, Regis drives his car up onto the pavement and parks. He and Chance get out and hurry into a television shop next door. He puts the videotape into one of the machines and hits play. The black and white CCTV footage comes up on a bank of screens on the wall. Jordan passes through a security check.
Jordan.
She looks over at Regis.
2118, that's 918. All right, he calls out there.
The second tape.
Hey, we got a special on that model this week, folks. Four heads, 21...
Back off.
Sure. Only a couple left, though. Just so you know.
2016. 816, he comes in...
Regis fast-forwards it a little.
You can even throw in a universal remote with that, you know, that'll change your
life.
Back
off!
True, take your time. Just ask for Jack.
He comes in, and then he leaves. Wait, who's that? I know that guy.
A soldier in full uniform followed Jordan in.
That's the guy that was at Spikings.
The 31st name.
Jordan walked him in. Jordan set up the whole thing.
He takes the tape out.
The investigation into the White House murder has resulted in two suspects. The car, a burgundy Chevrolet Caprice, has been identified as the possible suspect car. In other news...
The TV showed pictures of them, so they hurry out. Jordan's with the president.
There won't be anything anyone can prove. All the evidence will be destroyed.
What do you want?
Your resignation. Effective 10 p.m. Now, I don't know why you look surprised, Jack. Tully wasn't half right when he called it criminal.
Because we didn't go in with guns blazing? You think that would have saved our
boys? You have failed, Mr. President. You have failed your office. Pity.
Seen your cowardice grow from the very beginning. And then, finally, not having served your country in the military, you had no idea of the time-honored code of never leaving a man on the field of battle.
You should have brought those AWACS boys home. Dead, wounded, or otherwise. You should have done it by force if necessary.
Any president who serves up his country as appetizers for the enemy isn't fit for this office. So the choice is yours. You can resign, say it's due to your health, and you can tour the best golf clubs in America. Or you can stay in office and you can watch your son destroyed. The choice is yours.
if any father can call that a choice.
Why didn't he just kill Neo?
Because it's easier to kill the secretary than it is the president. Besides, alive and ruined is better.
And what?
Than dead and martyred.
And now, this special moment. An Oval Office address is scheduled for 10 o'clock tonight. Unidentified sources say the president will resign.
Jordan played his card. All right, that gives us 2 hours to get to the White House and the president.
Are you insane? How?
Use the tunnels the same way they got out.
You don't even know where they are.
Yeah, but you do. I mean, you know the security and you know the layout.
You're out of your mind.
Why? Because I'm about to help a government that's kicking me out on the streets? You got no argument there.
They round a bend, but come to a stop when they see a roadblock up ahead.
We gotta get rid of this car.
Regis drives away from it. Stengel's watching TV at home when his phone rings.
Hey, Alan.
In a phone box.
Don't say my name. Just listen.
Remember when we had the double homicide 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Meet me there in 1 hour.
Jordan and other agents were listening in on the conversation. Two policemen walk past a small building in a park. Stengel, Regis and Chance run along the other side of it and duck down.
Get down. Cops. 2.
That's the steam grate. It'll take us to one of the 3 points that are vulnerable to penetration in the White House. Eisenhower put a water filtering system down in there.
There's gotta be an alarm.
Yeah, there is. It goes off all the way across town. The General Services Building. No White House, no Secret Service.
Response time?
Well, officially 5 to 7 minutes. But realistically, 10, 11.
By that time, we'll either be fired or we're gonna be dead.
Wait, man, I was a park ranger doing that.
You!
What do you think? Meet and greet time?
Regis points at his watch, holds 2 fingers up to Stengel, then points at the steam grate. Stengel stands, composes himself, and approaches the 2 officers.
Evening, officers. Yeah. Tense night in the big city, huh?
Yeah.
Could be this thing with the president, maybe, huh? Nice to know, though, that we have our men in blue out here to...
Regis and Chance run from their hiding place and jump a low fence into a public garden where the steam grate is.
Hey, didn't that old senator lay the wood to that stripper around here somewhere years ago?
All right, take it easy this evening, huh?
Just asking. Didn't see it on my guide map.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Good evening,
huh?
Man.
All right,
gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
Come on, come on. Yes.
They get the grate unlocked and lift it. Chance climbs in. Regis keeps it open while Stengel runs back to them.
Come on, come on, come on. My grandmother moves faster than you.
He goes in and starts climbing down as Chance reaches the bottom. Regis follows him, lowering the grate behind him. They run through a series of tunnels with thick pipes along the walls.
Wait.
Where are we?
We're under the mall. It's Pennsylvania Avenue.
Which way?
It's not far.
Chance leads the way until they reach a brick wall with a pipe going through it.
Oh, Christ.
Now what?
End of the line.
This is the old emergency water system. These pipes go right through the wall.
Good, because that's where we're going.
An agent lifts the grate and looks into the shaft.
After you're sworn in, you'll make a short statement saluting Jack Neal for his service to his country. You'll ask for the country's prayers for bipartisan unity. Would you two excuse us now, please? Thank you very much.
Jordan addresses a room full of military men.
Gentlemen, at 2400 hours, President Dillon will sign off on the raid into North Korea.
Regis clambers out of the end of the pipe, which has a large concrete vat of water below it, and stands on a walkway to the side. Chance follows him, then Stengel.
We're looking for a steel door.
Regis shines his torch down onto the floor and sees a square door. He runs over and stamps on it.
What do you got?
Army Corps engineers. These are the escape tunnels. Lincoln had these built in case the Confederates lay siege to the White House.
Who says history isn't practical? We're running out of time.
It's 16 minutes to 10. Regis hits the chain and lock on the door until it breaks. Then he opens it up.
Go.
You first.
He clambers down, while Stengel puts his foot on the door to hold it open. A security guard sitting in front of a bank of monitors idly chews an apple. Underground, the agent's catching up with them and swings down through the hatch Regis just opened. The others are walking up ahead with their torches on. A red dot appears on Stengel's chest and he drops to the ground. Regis and Chance return fire. Regis signals to Chance from his hiding place and she sees to Stengel while he covers her.
Go ahead, I'll be okay.
She heads off. Regis runs down a dark passageway and fires, then he disappears into the shadows. Chance is wading thigh deep through water in another tunnel. Regis steps out into the open, and the agent drops down on him from above. Chance hears the gunshot and runs back as the two men fight in the darkness. They slam each other against the wall. Then the agent gets the better of Regis and begins to beat him. Chance slowly pokes her head around the corner and sees them. She raises her gun and steadies herself while she takes aim at the agent's head and waits for a clear shot. A direct hit, and he falls backwards into the water.
We gotta cross over.
Less than an hour, Jack Neal will step down after a little more than 2 years in office. For CNN, I'm Doris McMillan reporting.
Jordan looks at his watch, which shows 7 minutes to 10. In the tunnel, Regis punches a grill out and climbs through the gap with Chance close behind him. In a room in the White House, the president embraces his wife, then takes both her hands in his and kisses them. He walks over to the door with a look of unhappy resignation. A group of staff are waiting for him.
Let's do this.
They set off down the corridor, two men walking in front and five more behind. Regis and Chance reach an exit barred by horizontal laser beams.
Okay, wait. We're here. These are the motion sensors. They trip the alarm in the White House. You set those off and this room fills up with agents.
How long?
10 seconds.
Regis leans back against the wall and looks around hopelessly. Chance watches him.
We come too far to turn back now.
Yeah. I'll hold them off as long as I can.
He stands up and slowly edges his way towards the red laser beams. Chance is behind him and he points at her, then leaps through. He jumps up and grabs a pipe while the agent in the control room checks his monitors.
movement in 102. Repeat movement in 102. Subsector 11 tunnels. Repeat tunnels. Subsector 11.
A number of agents sprint through the kitchens, knocking chefs out of the way, and head down towards the tunnels where Chance is waiting. They go along a short corridor, and one of them activates a security lock, which opens another thick steel door. Chance prepares herself as it slowly opens in front of her.
You're under arrest! Drop your weapon!
She runs and they chase after her, giving Regis the chance to slip through the closing door. An agent cuts her off, but she hits him and pushes him down the stairs onto the others. Regis jumps up and grabs hold of a pipe, then swings his legs up to kick out a ventilation grill. He pulls himself up and climbs into the shaft. He crawls along it, pausing while the agents run past underneath him.
Number sector 12! Got it!
He starts to undo another grill on the shaft wall, while Chance is caught in the grounds. They force her down with her hands behind her back. Regis is now crawling along the top of some pipes as fast as he can. He climbs down a ladder and runs along a concrete passageway with steam coming out of some of the pipes. A woman's working a press in the laundry room when Regis walks casually in through the door behind her and grabs some workers' overalls from a rail. The president, flanked front and back by agents and staff, comes down a staircase with framed portraits hanging on the walls. He pauses on the landing for a moment, then continues on his way. In the basement...
Clear Sector 7, right now, report back to the office.
Regis, dressed in overalls with a cap low over his head, pushes a trolley of cleaning equipment out of the service area and along a corridor while people pass around him. Then he goes into a lift.
Let's go!
While he's in there, the door opens and two agents step in. One of them is Cooper. Regis lowers his head. He risks a look at Cooper, who's paid him no attention, but who then glances down and notices Regis's dirty trainers. Cooper looks at Regis suspiciously, then signals to his colleague. As the agent turns, Regis elbows him in the face, then attacks Cooper, knocking him back against the wall. The second agent recovers and punches Regis, who knocks him out, then takes on Cooper again. As Regis beats him to the floor, the second agent attacks him from behind, and Regis has to punch him repeatedly in the face before he drops. Jordan's on the phone in his office.
What agent captured?
He stands up, alarmed.
Get her up here.
The lift door opens, and Regis pushes his trolley out into the plush White House corridor. He lowers his head as he turns a corner and sees four agents standing guard outside a door.
Not now. Hold it!
Chance is there. Jordan recognizes him.
Agent! Gun! The janitor! Come on the floor! Get out!
All the agents pull their guns, and one drags the president to the floor.
Get him! He killed Spikey!
Mr. President! Your son is innocent!
Sir, you can't be here.
I am here. Seal the corridor.
I am still the president! Seal the corridor!
Alvin Jordan, you're under arrest.
For conspiracy in the murder of Carla Towns and Nicholas Spikings. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, you prick, one will be appointed by the courts.
The president stares at Jordan, then down at Regis, who's on his knees.
How did you get in here?
I crawled.
He's the one who gave Spikings the evidence on your son.
The evidence is you, on tape, with the man you walked in to kill Carla Towne. The same man who put a bullet through Nicholas Spikings.
Stand him up.
You don't have to believe me. Just look at the tape. It's in my back.
Agent?
Mr. President, Carla Towne was killed to destroy you, to force your resignation. Then Jordan had Spikings shot because he saw the tape.
An agent removes the tape from Regis's bag and hands it to the president, who looks around in disbelief. He looks from Jordan to Regis.
Arrest him.
What?
Not him. Him.
The agents stand around Jordan, and Chance breathes a sigh of relief. The president steps towards him.
My God, Alvin. You really had her killed, didn't you?
I think President Teddy Roosevelt said it best. If I must choose between righteousness and peace, I choose righteousness.
She was 25 years old. She was a child.
She was a casualty of war.
He knocks Jordan out with a punch.
Mr. President.
Get him out of here.
They haul Jordan to his feet.
Thank you, son.
But he pushes the guards away. Jordan fires and Chance leaps through the air, taking the bullet, while the agents shoot Jordan dead. Regis goes to her side.
Nina, stay easy. Stay easy. I'm right here. Right, hold on.
A press conference.
Oh, there's absolutely no truth whatsoever to any of those rumors. At no time was President Neal planning on resigning from office. Here's what we know so far. The murderer of Carla Towne is dead. He was killed today as he fired upon authorities attempting to arrest him. In that same gun battle, National Security Advisor Alvin Jordan and senior Secret Service agent Nicholas Spikings were also killed.
Was the president?
Did the killer actually penetrate the White House with the objective of killing Miss Towne?
In 180 years, there's never been a penetration of the White House. President and Mrs. Neal will have a statement for you later. Thank you very much.
In the corridor.
Call DC Homicide. Tell them the detective we found in the tunnel is on his way to University Hospital. Paramedics say he's going to be fine.
How is she?
She's stable.
You saved my life. Thank you.
She smiles.
And detective, how can I ever repay you?
No bother. Just doing my job. Well, there is one thing.
Yes, detective?
Have you ever heard of the Interstate Commerce Commission?
Sure. Secretary Randall's office is right down the street.
Right down the street?
Yeah.
See, it's not what you know, it's who you know.